career, and I kept them to him all my whole career.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It is Wednesday, and you know what time that means. It's the True North podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Billy North. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, playing producer here in Los Angeles, playing a little co-host with him back and forth. And, boy, the guests have come. Dusty Baker, Gene Tennis, Joe Rudy, and another legend coming tonight. We'll get into the introduction here momentarily. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss this show, sorry to you, but catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put that podium in its place, and hand off the mic. First of all, the threes, Billy. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And tell us about the legend you're bringing tonight in here.
Okay. I am wonderful, and I'm happy to have Willie Horton with us. You can reach me at BillNorte15@gmail.com. And I want to introduce one of the greatest players to play the game, coming in an era where the greatest players were playing. I'm talking about Hank Aaron and Mickey Mantle and Willie Horton, who is my guest. And Willie, how are you?
I'm just fine, Billy. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get on it. I got something to tell you. When we came through, I was after you. I got to the big leagues in 71. Right. But it was people like you. We had, especially young black players, we had a mentor. And mine was Billy Williams. And you were the mentor to one of my best friends who I was raised with. And he passed away just recently, and my heart aches for that, Joe Staton.
Seattle Slim.
And Seattle Slim. But you guys, we wouldn't have been able to do it without you guys.
Thanks for saying that.
And you were always kind to me, and I appreciated that. Tell me about how it was when you came up.
Well, you know, you go through life and Trouble H. And when I left home, I had to walk 6 miles from downtown Lakeland to spring training. I didn't realize I couldn't ride no taxi. And I thought they were playing a joke on me. I said, "Get my duffel bag." I had to walk from downtown Lakeland to the Tiger Town. It was about 5 miles or 6 miles. But, you know, it was the best walk I looked at. Walk where it got me at the day. I kind of lived my life through that walk. Made a better man out of me, a better person. Came up through the race of time. I mean, one time through the course of the year, I come up with a tiger. I had to get bodyguard for my kids to go to school. It was pretty bad after my first 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, thanks to Hank Greenberry. I met Hank Greenberry through Ernie Harwell, George Kell, and he helped me get through these hard times. And they treated the Jew worse than they treated the black people.
Yeah, he had to go through that, too.
Oh, yeah, him and Jackie. Well, he got me more acquainted more about Jackie because him and Jackie was very, very close. Yeah. But, you know, I reached back, and y'all mentioned a great ball player early, Willie Stargell. Oh, man. These guys, and after many years after unplayed and he unplayed, we relished and then realized that he going out seeing him sit at my aunt's house. Then one day he was cooking, and so how are he cooking? I said, "It's her twin sister." I said, "Wow, all them years." But I said, "But we had, you know, you had Cook, Glenn Denton, these guys that reached out. Ernie Banks, they always called me all the time. You got to hang in there, son. I don't know why you signed in that Republican League. You should have signed over in the Democrat League." But I survived, and I'm very proud that I remember when they put that statue of me out in Comerica Park,
which is
20 years ago. And I made that part of my testimony. You, Billy, and all the guys I played against, I couldn't have never achieved that. One for these y'all support and my playing against you guys and all the mentors I had through life. We had many mentors, and they helped me get through that. And I said, well, the best thing that I learned through all this trouble I had, I learned how to play my life through the fans. And the fan will heal you when you can't be healed. They teach you about the job before you go to work. You know your job when you leave the hotel or you're at home, you know your job. You don't need notes in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think it all gets back to when I first met you, Billy, years ago. I never forget you. And I said, but Billy knows, I'm not saying this because he was more than just somebody that could run center field. He could play some center field. And I wish I could see some of the young guys do some things that he could do in center field. And that comes from knowing his job before you went to the ballpark. This young man went on and had a great career, but his surrounding of the people like Joe Rudy and Gene Tennis, these guys. I mean, I love all them kids. I came up, caught the tail end of them a little bit over in Oakland, and how much they made me feel at home. And I feel at home and all through my life. And right today, I keep up with and I try to reach out to them, Norris. I met my manager over in Venezuela. Mike was on my pitching staff. I called Billy Martin. I said, this kid on your staff this year. He said, what? I said, this kid on your staff, I think he was 26-6. But I had a great career. Never complained. I look back, I had a manager over in Venezuela, first manager won the Caribbean World Series for them. And I never had opportunity. Somebody asked me about Manny in the States or anything. I never had the opportunity. Had a lot of coaches' opportunity. Then but Yaki from the eight years ago, he always called and reached out. Everywhere he went, he always reached out to me, and I take my hat off to him.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a good man. Yeah.
Hey, Willie, Mark Mancini here.
Good ride.
And I want to ask you something. Your 18-season career, when I think of how hard it is to stay in the league 1 or 2 years, what was instrumental in keeping you in that league that long? Because that's a hell of a career. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Well, I retired in between, and that's when I was a manager in Venezuela. And then one of my players got hurt over, and I saw a mess back around with the baseball until I get me somebody, and that little boy got back in me. And I started doing things, started running, started throwing, started hitting, and I came out of retirement. I think the kids, you got to keep that little boy in you to keep you growing. And when you keep that little boy and keep you growing, you have good decision skills, you make good choices, but you make adjustments to move on. You know, you got to learn as you get older in life, you got to make adjustments. You got to kind of pick it up. I see a lot of things going in life now. I'm glad, like our new president we got now with the Tigers, I'm glad to see him because he comes from the technology field, but he believes in mixing it with common sense and knowledge. You got to mix it. Technology always been here. It was there when Billy North played, but they mixed it. Is there with Willie Horton, you mix it. My dad always said, old man River, don't worry about it. Keep rolling along after you're gone. You learn how to get on and try to get through it. But I think I see a lot of things, a lot of great athletes. And I just wish, to me, I know football players, I know basketball players, we get that brotherhood back. See, we have a
camaraderie. Yeah.
I don't care if you got one day, or 10 years, or 15 years, or one day, an hour in the big league, that's a brotherhood that nobody can take from you.
Yeah, it was. It was a wonderful experience. Well, I got
unbelievable.
Yes.
I would like to know, what was it like to be one of the most feared hitters in the game? And I'm talking about McCovey. I'm talking about Stargell. I'm talking about John Mayberry. I'm talking about Dick Allen. I'm talking about you. Pitchers didn't want to pitch to you, and you did what you did anyway.
Well, you know, right today, I know how to use these little bats. The bat I use, Hillary, 35 and a half inch, 38 ounce or 40 ounce bat. That's what I use my whole career. When I retire, I got the retired bat right in my office now. I used that bat a year and a half. I never broke my bat.
Never broke.
I used to crack my bat, and I used to fix them with tape. Then become my gamer because I learned how to hit. You have 6 inches on that bat that you sweet spot.
Okay.
That's where you learn how to hit. And that, what I did out of that, I learned how to hit. Learning that to get into the pitch of it. What made me the hitter I am. I know my homework. I had 2 books on all the pitches I faced in the big league. And that came from respect. And that's what they need to get back into. See, I went out and enjoyed the game, son. I enjoyed the game, my head off to a pitcher. My dad told me something when I was a young man, and I learned to live through that. Never disrespect a pitcher if he's on that mound. If you're a 20-game winner, the 20-game will have the same respect because sometimes you want to cut the light bulb on and it might not come on. So I learned how to respect and end up with 2 books on all the pitches I face.
Wow.
And they used to drill me, Billy. They used to drill me about 20 times a year now.
Yeah,
and I know
that is wise.
You know, I know the ones was going to do it, you know. But
Did you ever go out there and get them?
Yeah, Lonely kept it downstairs, but they came upstairs. I had to go talk to them a little bit.
Hey, Willie, tell us about your baseball superstitions, the use of the same batting helmet throughout your career. You only repainted it when you changed teams. What's with that? Because
I can remember playing hockey, talking
to the goalpost, but I like to hear your superstitions.
Well, whether you call that superstition or good luck, Charlie Dressen gave me 2 helmets, and I kept them helmets the rest of my career. I remember I had number 46 on my uniform. He gave me number 23. I kept that. Now I see 23 out there retired on the wall and a statue above it. And, you know, I learned how to live through that. But everywhere I went, I had that helmet painted. You know, when I got to Oakland, it was kind of heavy on here. It had so many coats of paint on it. But anyway, it's just something that I just kept. We took care of our equipment. Billy, don't want to probably tell you the same thing. They took care of your equipment. We had a clubhouse, man, but we know stuff that we have to have. We didn't depend on him to take care of some of our equipment that we know we got to have.
Oh, yeah. And you had backup gloves.
You had all that.
It'd take 2 years to break in a glove now. But if you disappear, you gotta have one ready.
I always have me an extra glove, but the only glove I got down in my rec room frame in the case that I used that my majority of my career, and Mickey Stanley used to be the good glove guy, always lace it up.
Mm-hmm.
Use that same glove. That's the same glove I use in the
and relace it. Yeah.
Throw that
wow.
rock at home plate.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I looked at it last night. Well,
Billy, what that does so did is what you did. You know who was running, who was hitting, and you always read reports. And that's what made it so. And Lola's just going in the fifth inning. Phil always became small. And if he's going to hit it my way, he'd be 20 feet either way coming in on either side.
Yeah.
But then Luke Brock fit in the same report. From All-Star break that year, he started drifting from first base around the third. He did the same thing when he did second. And mm-hmm. Bill Freehand know the same report. And Bill has seen he broke his stride and he let the ball come through. And that's what we need to get back in. That's what I try to tell kids. You know yourself, you talk about things, you see things happen before it happens.
So he wasn't running the whole way.
No, he broke his stride. And see, then the guy coaching, that's Luke Brock running. Then the guy on deck tell him to slide, I don't need to be up Luke Brock running.
Come on, man.
And he what
everybody took things for granted. Yeah,
he picked up bad habits, bringing base stealing back in the game because he was. I think he set the league that year stealing bases.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Let me ask you, Willie, about the 1968 World Series champion, the Tigers. How you'd compare them to the 1984 Tigers? And I was blessed enough to watch one of their road games when they came out to California when they started out 35-5. Take us a little comparison with those two teams because I thought both those teams in 68 and 84 were something special for the city of Detroit.
Well, I don't think they could touch us.
Hey, Billy thinks nobody can touch those 72, 73, 74 A's, and I keep bringing up them 76 Reds.
Well, if you don't feel like that on that team, you seem to talk about it. But you know, I think we came up, the 6-8 guys, we came up to Tiger Town 1 to 2, 3 years apart, raised up in Tiger Town, pillar fighting, learn how to get in each other's face. Because you got to learn how to get in each other's face to win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the key. And that's what made us what we are. We should have repeated in 69. We didn't start playing no baseball in 69 after All-Star break. Then we all still end up 4 game behind Baltimore, I think, 6 game. Mm-hmm. But it was just Earl Wilson, I think he had about 10 or 12 home run pinch hitting. He was a pitcher. He was.
Yeah.
McClain was 31 games, you know, and Lolis came along at the time. Lolis won in 3 games. But McClain, best year was the next year, he was 25-4.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, but I think it's you can have the best athlete on the team, but you got to have the best guys know how to work, chemistry, know how to work together.
Right.
And we had guys just right there before the game started in the club, I'd get in each other's face and go out there and take care of Benson. And that's what made went champion. You can't, you know,
yeah.
I'm very religious. You can't have all church boys.
No.
You can't have it.
But when you step between the white lines, it was about business.
Oh, man, I tell you. I only go out there now. I'm 80 years old. I only go out there near the lines because you get a good feeling, and I don't want to try to do things I know I can't do. You know, I'm saying it's a feeling that you have. It's you treasure the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You worked side by side with who I think was one of the best and still is the best is Dave Dombrowski. The school of writing open checks and building championship teams. I think if Dave Dombrowski was in the days of the A's there with working side by side with Billy and the company and Fingers and all those guys, they probably would have won 6 titles. But Dave Dombrowski, I think, doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's turned franchises around in Florida and Philly and all these
places.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about Dave. I go back with Dave Dombrowski with the White Sox when he was an intern farm director, and he had me go down and work with Ozzie and Vincent Weller. I was coaching then. And the credit, he knew how to bring people together. But he knew how to go out and ball players he bring into your organization, they come in ready to play. You know, they don't understand these Band-Aids. You know, you got a lot of ball players got Band-Aids. They don't understand Band-Aids, ball players he finds. And I never, you know, I told the people, I remember telling Mr. Illis that when we brought him back here, when we started turning the organization around years ago, that watch David do his job. And he just got the niche to doing that. Everywhere he go, he do that. They always open up the perch. But that's just where the modern age is about the game is built on money now. That just come with the territory, but he know how to go out. But he got the best thing with Dave Dombrowski is he have good communication with everybody around the league, scout, agent, and all. And that's very important.
He was in Boston too, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, Boston.
Yeah.
Everywhere he go.
Yeah.
He started down with he brought Cabrera when he was 18 years old when the Marlins won it. And then he left there, went up to y'all, went up there with them guys and won it. So I'm saying you can't take something. I think certain people got God-given talent, and I think that's what Dave DeBrasi has.
I want you to tell me something about your relationship with a hell of a center fielder for you guys named Ron LaFleur.
Well, Ronnie, I thought Ronnie cheated himself. If he had learned how to work, he should have been on the map. Mm-hmm. I think Ronnie kind of cheated himself. The best center field that I ever played in my time in Wilf and Guess, and I put him up there close to Mays, is Mickey Stanley.
Yeah.
And Mickey Stanley can go get him. He was just like you, Billy Boy. He can just go get him, son. You played against them type of guys like Billy.
And then he would come in and play shortstop.
Oh, man, come in. I mean, that time in the World Series, he came in, he would run up to MVP in World Series playing shortstop. So we get K-Line in the lineup. So I'm saying this is, but I'm saying you got to help special people to do that.
Yeah. Well, Ronnie had a lot of skill.
Oh, Ronnie, I ain't taking anything for Ronnie. I remember going up to Jackson Prison with me and Billy Martin and Frank Howard, saw him. Mm-hmm. And he come home, then later on they signed him, then a year and a half, he in the big league. Now, I'm going to look forward to seeing him next month down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He had to cut his leg, kind of appetite cut off, after the problem.
Wouldn't he have diabetes?
Yeah, he had that. He told me, I thought it was diabetes. He said it come from smoking cigarettes. And I didn't realize cigarettes do that. Well, I ain't never smoked a cigarette, but I never realized cigarettes do something like that.
It was a great answer.
Yeah, stay away from Jimmy Leland.
But I tell you what, you guys really know if you guys had Joe Rudy, the most unrated ball player in this whole sports. That man could play. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Rudy. And they never, I used to call him Abraham Lincoln type. Easy walks. He's as strong as an ox.
Yeah.
Very easy. Nice human being.
Yeah.
That guy, he's talking about playing some outfield.
We had a good time with him last week. But
you did?
I played with two of the best left fielders to ever play the game, Joe Rudy and Dusty Baker.
Oh, no. You can't. No. And Dusty. I go back with Dusty many years. Dusty brought me out to maybe his honorary coach at the All-Star game this year.
Yeah.
That was a great honor, man. I'm still looking at something. He sent me something yesterday, a picture of the All-Star, picture in a good frame yesterday. But he's one of the great human beings that I remember Dusty.
I go back
in, as a kid in Lakeland. He used to come and visit his grandparents in Florida, and I remember he used to mess with me out in left field, and he ended up signing with the Atlanta Braves and great ball playing with the Dodgers, and that was history. And the great manager he is.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed. They talked about 2 or 3 months ago, talking about he's the first black manager to win 2,000 games. Anytime you win 2,000 games, you're a great manager. Well, you're black, ain't no color to that.
I know, and you know him as I do, that he is one of the most special people to walk the earth.
No, he's
and
great.
We go back to 1969.
Great human being, son.
Yeah.
Great human being. Mm-hmm. And you can't, we're very fortunate in life, the track records we have with people,
mm-hmm.
that we can reach back and say thank you. See, they taught us, understand, we help people who recognize people around us help mold us to what we did in life. That's what type of people we were surrounded by.
It's amazing. It's amazing that how, I used to watch you on TV when I was young, and Hank and all of them, and to be able to come through and live your dream to be able to play professional baseball, but then to be on the same field with you.
Oh, man. I tell you, I remember my first All-Star game in Minnesota. I'm out there for them in, getting batting practice. I'm out there getting Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, them all in there on the draft.
Oh, good.
And I missed the clubhouse meeting. And the manager said, hell, don't you know you're here to play against these guys? Yeah. But I'm saying that's what life is about, man. That's a dream, and that's what nobody can ever take away from you.
Great.
No, no. Toughest pitcher you had to face, and the craziest road trip you endured on the road with the Tigers or the Mariners or the Rangers or whatever. But give us the toughest pitcher you faced.
Well, the crazy trip I had in Detroit on the trip, our plane almost crashed in Kansas City. Me, Mickey Stanley, sit out there, had stuff on the runway. We come in and that stuff, and we don't sit around and see the plane that's having trouble. They said, you guys are in trouble, man. Both of us fell out on the ground. But to get back to pictures, that get back to what I said about my father, you know, I remember the toughest pitch at one particular game, the first game of the World Series. But then I had to get back in my game, and I got him the third game, fourth game.
Was his name Gibson?
Bob Gibson. I'll never forget this game. He was pitching, and I'm with the K-line come back to the – I'm not paying no attention to the game. He come back. I thought he put a rise, and he said, I'm finished. I said, damn, boy, this is going to be a fast game. This will be a fast game today. But he struck out six. He got me for 17. I never forget that, but I think that's the toughest time. But throughout my career, I never say I like to face this guy. I kept them all in the same category of respect, and I grew. But that one game stands out more than anything in my whole career. That State World Series first game with Bob Gibson, but I remember. The catcher kept telling him, look at the scoreboard. He'd tell him, get back there and just catch the damn ball.
Yeah.
he was a great athlete, man. I mean, and I tell you, Bob was mean. But he's one of the tiniest guy I met after we'd all retired, been around him and going out to different thing functions. Man, one of the nicest guys you want to be around.
Yeah. After you got out of the game.
Exactly.
Wow. I wonder what a Bob Gibson.
I was going to slow him down one time. I was going to slow him down one time. I said, Billy, he's pitching too fast. And Billy said, you better get your butt up to that plate and get in that batter's box and stay in there. And don't be doing that little thing you do with your foot and digging in.
No, just get up and hit.
Exactly.
We had an exhibition game in spring training and played over in Winter Haven against Boston. Then I didn't have to make the trip. They going to St. Peter. I wanted to go get an autographed ball signed by Bob Gibson. So I'm going on the trip with them guys. And I get out there, and when Bob got through warming up at the old Alain Field, walked through between the stands. And I sat there with a ball. I said, Mr. Gibson, sign my ball. And he looked at me. He said, what position? And I told him,
what position you play?
Ass. You get your ass away from me. Man, I went in the clubhouse and I told Gates, man, you was a damn fool for making the trip. Hell, you played yesterday. but that was funny. But I'm saying after that, I stayed my distance. But you learn how to respect them. And then after retire,
I really
understand and love him.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's we're out of time player. Almost. We're winding it down. Oh, my God. All I can say is how much Bob Gibson would make these days with the money they're throwing around in baseball. Yeah.
Well,
and bless. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I thought about Errol Wilson today. I seen we signed this one guy that signed. For $8-10 million for 1 year.
Wow. Unbelievable.
One 12, 8 games or 9 games. I mean, most of them guys just complain when they win in 12 and 13 games, hell, they'd be scared they'd get sent out. You know,
I just talked to Bert Blyleven.
Things change.
Yeah, no.
We got to learn how to go with the flow and And, you know, just where it is and get back to Old Man River. Don't worry about it. Just kind of roll on with it.
Oh,
but
God.
I think,
illustrious career, my friend. We're out of time. I'm gonna borrow a slogan for you guys. Bless the boys. The Detroit Tigers slogan there.
Oh, yeah. God bless the boys. But wait a minute. We'll hook back up again later on in the year, next year or something.
Yeah, definitely. You can't get enough of the Detroit Tigers and you. Yeah. Hey, Billy, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend, as we wind this thing out.
You
can reach me at BillNorte15@gmail.com. I want to thank Mr. Horton. And please come back. And what an honor to be able to talk to you and have this moment. Thank you.
We'll do it again, son. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. For Billy North, Willie Horton, yours truly, Mark Mancini. Catch the archive version of the show, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, if you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. Long live the Tigers, the A's, and I'm hoping my Pirates do something next year. That's the thing. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.